What's going on, guys? Welcome to River City 93, brought to you by Roughneck Scars, Icarus FC, and of course, For the Culture. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and is joining me is my good man,
Shenandoah Duran II.
And as you can tell in my voice, even though the Kickers lost two games in the span of a week, we got smiles on our faces because Union Omaha dropped points. Cha-ching.
Still got second place locked with a game in hand.
Right.
Yes.
At this point, I could care less if we back into the final. I just want to be in the final.
Exactly.
So we're recording this podcast right after watching Foreign Madison Union Omaha game.
0-0 draw. That could have ended very badly.
The favorite result would have been a Madison win, because that would have officially kind of, quote-unquote, ended Union Omaha's chances.
Yes.
But they got the draw, which means that Union Omaha's next game is against Greenville. Greenville still needs a point after their draw against FC Tucson to effectively clinch home field. I'm assuming that they will. You got Union Omaha, you got Orlando City B. My assumption is that Greenville's going to go full strength against Union to rest up everyone against OCB, because there's no point of playing anyone versus significance against OCB.
Yeah.
Union, on the other hand, needs to beat Greenville, win out, hope that Richmond loses two games, and get in. My thing is, if I'm a Richmond fan, beat South Georgia, beat OCB, pray to God that Greenville beats Union.
Yeah.
And then North Texas drops 3 points somewhere in between. There we go.
Yeah. Basically, at the end of the day, we just need, to be honest with you, in my opinion, I just want maximum points the next three games.
Yeah.
They're winnable. I know Chattanooga is our bogey team, but curses are made to be broken.
Yeah. And so, also, the other thing with Chattanooga, for those who don't know, Chattanooga game against OCB this past week got postponed because of COVID, because, you know, no one in Chattanooga likes to wear a mask, and someone got COVID, and they postponed the game. So now Chattanooga has an extra game thrown in there in the mix. We don't know when.
Yeah, they still don't have the date. But it is Orlando City B, but
I mean, hey, an extra game is an extra game.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can't do anything about that. So with all that being said, man, it's weird how OCB plays a significant part in a lot of teams.
Like, yeah.
It's weird, y'all.
OCB's just popping up everywhere right now.
Popping up everywhere. It is weird. But with that being said, man, we alluded to it earlier in the podcast. This is coming to you in between a break that we had because we were busy last week, so we weren't able to record.
Yeah.
We're kind of doing three games in one podcast, and hopefully we don't take up 3 hours of your time. If we do, we're sorry. we're just going to probably do, highlight points, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go in and start off with the Revs 2 game, which...
Do we have to?
Yeah, we do. I mean, look, I will say this. It was a 4-0 win for Revs 2, but something that I have alluded to on this podcast before, and I will take all the credit for it, even though I don't want to, is that we barely got out of New England the first time with a win.
Yeah.
It wasn't until Ian Antley did a wonder cross to Riley Kraft that we got out of there with a win. So the fact that, and I don't know what it was, I felt like we came into this game with this preconceived notion of, we got it, we're good, we don't need to, you know, do a whole bunch. You know, Revs are just going to sit down, allow us to do what we want to do, we're fine. And that wasn't the case. Like,
no, it was not. It definitely wasn't. They came guns blazing.
Yeah.
They came ready to play.
100%. And you can see it. I mean, once again, the biggest thing I have against Coach Washington right now, and don't get me wrong, he is definitely in the Coach of the Year situation. You know, I love Coach Washington. I know he's probably listening to this pod. I love you, Coach. Please don't stand me out of existence because you're Thanos. The man looks like Thanos, yo. I will vehemently defend this. He looks like Thanos. I asked him the question. He was like, I don't know who Thanos is. Because you're Thanos. I just need him to understand that. But I think it's just the consistently slow starts. And I don't know if that's because of the style of play we have, or it's because of it takes our team a while to kind of get the flow of the game. But the slow starts are killing us.
You know, but you know one thing I have noticed? It seems to be a reoccurring thing with the kickers. Because I just feel like we just... It's always been this way. Even before Darren, even before Buelow, it's always, I've always felt like it's very rarely that kickers will score a goal in like the first 10 minutes. And I remember there was one point when we sponsored by Papa John's and they said, if the Richmond kickers score in the first 10 minutes of the game, everyone gets a free pizza. Ain't no one ever get a free pizza.
Yeah, because we don't do that. We'll score to the 50th minute. We got to drag it out. But, I mean, let me say this. When it comes to that Revs 2 game, I just felt like once the first goal, I blame Akira on that. I think Akira should have done a better job of punching that ball out. He just, it's kind of like he just flicked it and he wasn't expecting the Revs 2 player to get to it.
The problem is when he cleared that first attempt on goal, he couldn't go at it double fisted because the post was in the way. As you can see, he swats at it with one hand, with the other hand on the post.
But do you think he should have done more to like try to push that ball straight out of bounds and give him the corner kick instead of... I felt like the way how he punched it straight.
Like, he just swatted at it.
Yeah, literally, instead of like just trying to like curve at it.
I mean, it's one of those situations where you're like, I gotta punch this. Post is in the way. Just, swat. And he just...
Yeah, I'm just hoping to get the like,
I mean, it's one of those situations where I think it was... Yes, it's an error on the goalie's part, but that was a scramble, and then he was in the right position for the follow-up header. It's just bends off of Venter's head, and who you can't put any blame.
Yeah, on him. No, there's no blame on Venter at all. Yeah. I'm saying my blame is with Akira because I felt like Akira should have done.
He could have
done more.
Yeah, getting that ball out a little more. He had a panic moment, I feel.
Yeah, I felt like he just swatted at it. It was like, all right, it's out. And, you know. Yeah. I mean, Grant, look, these kids are, Revs 2 players are young.
Yeah.
But they are good.
Yes.
They are not your amateur CVSA squad players. These guys are professionals for a reason.
They're professionals, and you got to think about it.
If you give them a chance, they're going to make it.
3 years from now, a lot of them will be playing for, if he's still there, Bruce Arena.
Yeah.
So... this is basically New England Revolution in terms of academy has always had kind of a factory working academy, like where they are pumping out a lot of players that end up doing big things in college. So now when they have New England 2, there is a lot of that talent that's staying with New England, not going off to college. And that talent is going to be the future of New England Revolution first team. So
I mean, I also remember when Bruce Arena got the job, he talked about like, one of the first things he wanted to do was, like, we have to have a two team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all credit to that. The second goal, which was a PK kick, and Wapping's in the box trying to defend somebody, that's never going to end well.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to say about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Did he go down easy? Probably. Yeah. But, once again, I think about it like, as I always say to you, if you put it in the ref's hands, it's never going to end well. And why we put it in the ref's hands? And then after that, we're kind of just in go mode. I mean, we had our chances, we had opportunities. Terzaghi had a million chances in front of the box.
Yes, but
just
he
couldn't.
Did.
It was either like he was an inch off or like he couldn't really get there.
Or he just couldn't get the shot off.
Yeah.
You know, because one thing I do realize is that even though Terzaghi got a lot of balls inside the box, he received a lot of balls inside the box, Revs did a good job of just staying on top of him to the point where even if he does get the ball in the box, he can't really shoot.
Well, Jason on League One Fun, by the way, go listen to League One Fun after our podcast, listen to our podcast first, as always. Listen to League One Fun where they talk good about the kickers.
Yeah.
But Jason on League One Fun pretty much mentioned about how he credited the fact that we couldn't really get in there started to the fact that Terzaghi was more in the midfield.
Yeah.
And he was saying that if you move Terzaghi more to striker, now Terzaghi does a great job of getting fouls. But if you remove those fouls from the front of the 18-yard box and then now you put them in the midfield, Revs 2 are going to be like, well, shoot, you made our job easier because now we could just foul him at the halfway line.
And then I have a chance to get back.
Yeah, it kind of just
recycled. And organize our defense.
And you saw that happening. We couldn't ever get it clicking and going. The last two goals in the game, I chalked those up to Darren was just pushing numbers up, and you just got caught. You know, when so I'll use this analogy. As a defender, you are always going to be at a disadvantage when it comes to an attacker because you are backpedaling. Yeah. It's like a cornerback in football, a cornerback and a wide receiver in football. A cornerback, I know people use the term 50-50 balls, but if you're a defender, it's really 70-30 because you're always going to be at a disadvantage because you are backpedaling. You don't have the momentum.
Exactly.
And you don't know what's behind you, where the attacker can literally see everything in front of him and know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's going to be an advantage. You can see it on both goals. Just didn't end well. Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, you're, ain't gonna lie, it sucked. And it then...
did. And it was... And I really chalked it off, especially after the midweek performance. I chalked it off as, you know, every team has that one game in the season.
Yeah, and that's true.
I.e., Liverpool just had that game last week, too.
United, too.
Yeah, well, no. Yeah, nah, them, that's even worse. Liverpool's was a one-off. United's had it coming.
United can happen once a month. It can go either way. You might win a game 4-1. You might lose 6-1. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, no, but I mean, every team has a one-off, and I felt like that New England 2 game was our one-off, where it was just everything. But from the first goal, you're like, okay, it's going to be one of those days.
Yeah, you know? I ain't going to lie. When I saw that goal, I was like...
And that's why I was making so much connection in my head. I was like, 2 own goals. Liverpool get like 3 highly deflected goals. I was like, this is just a bad day for red teams.
I just moved into my house. I was tired. I was watching the game. I was excited. And then I'm like, the first 20 minutes, and I'm like... Bro, why am I watching this? I'm supposed to be happy today.
Yeah.
So then we move into midweek against OCB. And me and you were kind of talking also with like Matt Myers and other people. And I made the comment of, like, this is really gut check time for the kickers.
Yeah.
Like, it's gut check time. There's no more gimmies. There's no more of woulda, coulda, shouldas. Like, it's time for you. And this OCB game... Now, granted, was it, you know, put midweek because of postponements, because OCB got Corona? Yes. But it came at a perfect time because of the fact of the matter of this gave this team the ability to be like, look, we got to correct the mistake.
Yeah, it gave them a bounce back, quick bounce back. So we're not spending a whole week mulling over a 4-0 loss.
And, I mean, me and you, I think I do a better job than you. Of, like, not getting too super high and not getting too super low. Like, I try to stay as neutral as I can. But I think this game is now only important. One, because we got the 3 points. But also because of the fact of someone else besides Terzaghi scored.
Yes.
And scored efficiently.
Yes.
And, you know, that's Bolognese, who... My biggest thing against him was he has great speed. He has great dribbling. But is that end product?
Yeah.
Can he lay off the ball? Can he get himself in a dangerous situation? And he did.
Yeah.
He showed it twice. On the first goal, he's pretty much at the top of the 18 and just sitting in section O.
Smashed it.
Sitting in section O, yo. When he hit it, no one knew it was him. The only thing we saw was the corner, the deflection, and ball on the back of the net. We was like, wait, what happened? We was like, what?
Oh, he smashed that so hard.
Oh, he put his whole soul into it.
Exactly.
You would have thought like God came down to him for a split second and was like, look, son, you don't make this. You ain't playing soccer no more. And Bologna was like, oh, I'm playing, bitch. Like, he put everything into it. And I think from there, like, now that was impressive. What I'm more impressed with was the penalty and how he forced the penalty.
Yes.
Like, he got in behind them, and it was pretty much, like, once again, this defender is like, you're flying through the air, you're panicking. The defender, the OCB defender, just grabs Bologna and drags him down.
Yeah.
Causes a PK.
Another thing is, that's a situation in which... I mean, what we've seen Bolanos run into, like, make those overlapping runs on the outside and coming in from that left wing and cutting inside. But if that foul doesn't happen, he's still scoring. It looks like he's still putting that ball in the back of the net.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something that really, really commendable because he kind of started off a little slow. We're like, can he finish? He's got the pace. He's got the, you know. He's got the skills.
Oh, by 100%. He was the best player on the field.
He was. Oh, definitely.
The best player on the field. And I mean, granted, if you want to use a grain of salt, it's against OCB. But at the same token, like, for someone else on the Kickers besides Terzaghi
to score
and to score the way how he did, it's important. And it gives you that kind of, like, relief factor of, like, all right, we got someone else. And that's big. That's big. Now, also in this game, Stanley.
I don't know what happened with him on that PK.
You want to defend him? I ain't gonna roast him.
No,
because my whole thing
is there's no defending that. That's just a PK taker who's unsure of himself and not sure. It's saying, do I want to go left or do I want to go right? I think I want to go right, and then as he's striking the ball, second guesses whether he should go right, and that's when you have that tap. You know a PK is bad when the goalie catches it.
Yeah. My whole thing was, and you know, my whole belief, shooters gotta shoot.
Just pick a side and smash it.
Look, Kobe ain't never seen a bad shot. No matter how bad it was, Kobe ain't never seen a bad shot. LeBron. Yep. But, you know, hey, whatever. My whole thing was with Stanley, and I commend him for the ability to say, like, I want to take the chance. Trezeguet was already off the field at that point. I think Bologna was already off, so he probably was the next up to take it. Mm-hmm. Might have been Riley Kraft, but I commend Stanley for taking that ability. My whole thing was, and, you know, you hear a lot of people, like, you just said it yourself, if you're going to shoot, just go. Like, just pick a side and just shoot it.
Yeah, don't second guess yourself.
Don't try to second guess yourself. And I credit that to one, Stanley hasn't scored a goal yet.
Yeah.
And if he does score, I think that would have opened up a lot of confidence in himself.
And he would have just... if he had scored a goal, and he's had some chances to score in past games, if he had put this in the back of the net, if he had scored the goal, oh, he would have just smashed this. You know that he would have had that.
Like, if he scored a goal before this PK chance, he smashes it.
Yeah, he just
this being it. His first chance, it's like, damn.
And you could see it in his reaction.
Yeah, you can see it. Like, he just dropped his head. You can see it.
Yeah.
Jeez,
why did I do that? Like,
yeah.
But
I'm pretty sure his teammates afterwards was like, dude, like, even the section we was like, hey, you took it. Like, that's, I ain't a lot. Like, a PK is the hardest shot to take in soccer, in my opinion.
It is. I mean, when everything stopped and you actually have time to think about it and you're thinking about what's happened while everyone's arguing with the ref, you got to stand there and think.
It's the most abnormal shot in soccer.
Yeah.
Because it's literally in the stop of flow. Like, so I don't discredit him for that. My whole thing is, you know, just pick a side and go with it. But we're going to, like, the player that causes the foul, Oleg Anderson, oh boy.
Okay.
He is tricky.
he's got a bag of tricks. He's definitely.
I like him a lot.
I do too. I really do too. And my thing is, I really wish we had gotten him sooner than with the last, like, 4 or 5 games of the season.
Yeah.
But imagine.
My thing is,
the rotation we'd have up front, no one would ever be tired because we would be able to rely on him. We'd really be able to rely on Bolanos. We'd be able to rely on Mwape. We'd be able to rely on Matt Baldock. We would have a rotation of wingers in there that can do some damage.
The thing is, we have so many creative wingers.
Exactly.
They're creative in one-on-one situations. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we've never had that before originally. So it's like,
yeah.
Y'all doing skills?
Exactly. Like, so four wingers, 2 on each side, that can create and that can run at defenses. And all of them have pace.
Like, Baldock is probably the only one that probably doesn't have, like, a bag of tricks.
Yeah.
He's the old school winger, but it's like his crosses.
Venomous.
Oh, yeah. him and Wapi are probably the only two that doesn't have, like, super skills. But, like, crosses? Boy. You ain't touching them.
Yeah, there's you, and that's the thing. And now that we have this, if we can keep all 4 of them for next year,
I don't see a reason why not.
I don't see a reason why not either. And then we have 2 strikers. We have Luke and we have Stanley. At the end of the day, I just think after this season, Stanley's gonna come back strong.
Oh yeah.
Because again, we need to remember that he came off of an injury.
I mean, the thing is too, like, Stanley, Bolaños. Who else is in their first year as a pro? Flack. Mumbai. Who else? Am I missing someone else? I feel like I'm missing
David.
No, David was Cosmos.
Oh, he was Cosmos.
But if I am missing someone else, charge my mind, not my heart. I feel like if you give them a second year, like we saw the improvement with Ivan, like yes. Huge improvement that second year because you feel more comfortable. You know what to expect.
Yes, exactly. And
your body gets comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I think that was so big dividends for Stanley. I'll throw Luke in that category as well because Luke barely played a game.
Last year he didn't
really. And he's really stepped up. Huge. And look, don't get me wrong. I have a soft spot for Luke.
Yo, Luke. So, look,
in my eyes can do no wrong.
Look, even bias aside, Luke has been.
Oh no, I'm 100% biased when it comes to Luke.
But I'm saying for me, bias aside, Luke. No, he's not scoring goals as a striker, but all of the stuff that he is doing as a striker is so, so, so valuable.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pressing. He's, you know, aerial battle, every aerial battle is a dogfight for him. So, I mean, to have that as a player up top, when you know you have goal scorers around you, you have... You know, you have Bolanos, you have Terzaghi, you have even Riley Kraft can come up with some crafty stuff. Yeah, I did that.
I hate you.
I mean, I was trying to find another word, but I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just throwing it in there. I mean,
God, I hate you.
God. I mean, you have players around you that can score goals, but what Luke brings to the attack is massive. So with that front three, literally front three times two that we have, if we can keep all six of them, we're all set on the front line.
Yeah.
We're all set on the front line.
And I also think like a important change that coach made versus the Revs 2 game and this game was playing Bulldog, who's a natural, like Bulldog playing that football spot, it feels natural.
Yeah.
You know, it feels natural where Aqua, I think of him more as
he's a center back. That can play
CDM.
Yeah, that can play CDM.
I would love to see that transition to Aqua, you were the auxiliary fullback.
Yeah, if you need to rest Falk, you don't have Kwesele, you can put, you know.
Or Cuomo.
Or Cuomo, yeah. Cuomo is like that.
Cuomo, I feel like, is strictly defense.
Not really, though. Cuomo is... not only defense, but also the calmer. He's like a Busquets. Like, he doesn't make those, like, long, like, super cool pass. He's just gonna take the ball and pass it the other way. You know, he's that pivot man in the middle. And Mitch is very, very valuable. And we all know, you know, how valuable Busquets is to Barcelona.
So, the negative to this game, also with OCB, is the fact that we gave him one goal. We had a clean sheet in our hands. Turned off. And yeah. I don't know why this happens. Like, granted, we had one clean sheet against Junior Omaha, another one against South Georgia. I think this year alone, we've only had three?
Two or three clean sheets. That's about it.
Like, it's not up to the standards of where it was legend. Now, granted, attacking-wise, we're a lot better.
Oh, yes,
but
definitely.
But clean sheet-wise, we've only had three.
Yeah.
You know, Madison was the other one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is an opportunity to get a clean sheet to be like, all right, look, we did our job. Let's focus all on North Texas. You know, coach was taking out players. But to give up a goal against OCB in the dying minutes of the game kind of, like, put a damper. And that's why, like last night I was tweeting, you know, what grade would you give this team? And we could talk about our grades afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I gave them a C-. Mm-hmm. Now we move on to Saturday against North Texas. Mind you, this is a team we have not scored against until last night in 327 minutes. We scored our first goal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. I want to see if you can get it right. How many goals have North Texas scored against us?
Oof.
In four games.
I think about seven or eight. Oh, in four games. Yes, that is four. There were four games. I think
there was three last year and then one.
Yeah, three last year. I forgot that. There were three of them.
How many goals have they scored?
I'd say somewhere around 11.
Yeah, it's 11.
11.
It's 11 goals to one Richmond goal. And I don't know why it is North Texas got our number like that, but they got it.
They do.
Like, they play godlike defense against us, yo. And I don't know why it's like that, but it's like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you brought this up before, before we started recording, with New England and North Texas, we just had the bad luck of going up against them right when they got healthy. Yeah. You know, right.
It's like when the trade-off of playing OCB when they're in South Georgia when they're in the dumps, you're gonna get revs too in North Texas when they're both healthy and playing amazing soccer. Like North Texas.
And at a time where we've got injuries holes we're trying to plug from injuries.
Not as bad as last year, but like this year.
No, last year was worse. But I mean this year, I mean with Ian Antley, that's a big loss.
Yeah.
Devontae, Zev. I mean, we have a bit of a list of players who are injured.
But that's not an excuse. In this North Texas game, we did see Alex get a start. I'm gonna struggle with his name, but I pray I don't. Oh, Alex get a start, and we also saw Bodock, get that fullback spot again. Mm-hmm. And I had no problem with that lineup when I first saw it. Watching the game, I felt like Luke and Alex should have switched.
Yeah.
Because Luke looked uncomfortable out there. Like, you could just... you've seen them before in players, where players are in a position where it's like, I'm doing a job, and I'm not, like, in a role.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? The body language, it really tells.
Wasn't a lot of him connecting on passes, a lot of him, when you're a winger, you're looking for a lot of one-on-one opportunities in space. And I feel like Alex would have exploited a lot of that. I think what kickers were trying to do was trying to get in behind North Texas a lot of the times, but that just wasn't working because North Texas goalkeeper was literally swallowing it up every
time. Yeah, he was playing sweeper keeper. He was high off his line whenever we tried to pop it over.
So that wasn't working. And I think if you switch on Alex and Luke, like you said, Luke provides that pressing and a little bit more hold up playing, where Alex, you put him outside on the wing, it's a lot more space, a lot more opportunity for him to exploit. And I felt like he would have taken a better job of that against North Texas.
Yeah.
But, the first goal, once again, ball watching killed us. And let me say this, ball watching, the matter of fact of Akira, I know I faulted Akira for the one against Revs.
You can't this one, he fault can, him.
Yeah, he yeah, can't he, do he did
that was an amazing
can.
Save, but then where the ball no ended
one
up.
Was on Bruce. Where it no was one, like yeah. literally it was like a force field around, and Bruce is like, I guess I'll take it. And it's like, yeah. You put any player in a situation, they're going to make it. No one was there. And I'm like, why didn't no one step to him? Or why didn't no one, try to follow the ball?
Yeah.
Ball watching.
Yeah. I just feel that in that situation, it was... I think you get that idea of not expecting the unexpected. And you need to expect the unexpected when you're defending. And the unexpected was that cross going close to goal and it getting punched out. That was the unexpected, it getting punched out into that space. But as a defender, even though the ball is going away from where you're marking your man, you still need to mark your man because you never know if that ball is going to end up bobbling or popping right back into the area that your man is trying to attack.
And once again, it goes back to what we were saying about how as a defender, you're at a disadvantage because you have your back turned.
Yes.
The normal deal situation, if you could go back and run this play, I think everyone kind of, once it carries again, everyone turns their head.
Yeah.
But it's normally, it's the natural let off. You're like, Akira got it. Oh, snap, it's a goal.
Yeah.
It's just so bang bang, but, someone has to cover
it. But that's the thing, and people say it's anticipation. No, it's just staying with your man regardless of where the ball's going.
Yeah.
Just staying in
your zone. If someone stays on Bruce, you make that...
Exactly. Either someone stays on Bruce from or 40? Stays in their position there and doesn't say, oh, well, the ball's not going anywhere near here, and, oh, it looks like he's going to punch it out. Oh, there he goes. And then,
the chances of difficulty from Bruce goes from 20% now to maybe 60%.
Yeah.
You got to make it difficult for a striker. If you just give him an open net, of course he's going to score.
Oh, he's going to smash that.
That's his job.
Right. Yeah. That's what he gets paid for. That's
now, the second goal, I was like, oh. The second goal, excuse me if I'm wrong, there's nothing no one can do on that one.
I mean...
Maybe cut out the chances in the midfield? But
yeah, I think cutting out the chances in the midfield... The midfield is where that starts, because for him to be able to make that run into the box with the ball, that's a lot of space that he's got. And then, of course, the back heel was world class.
Yeah, because literally, I think, because you can see it in Britner. Like, Britner's expecting Bruce to turn right and take that shot.
Yeah.
So all his body weight is, I mean, going left. Britner's going left, but he's expecting Bruce to turn right.
Yeah.
Down the entrance. And I think all his body weight is going that way. So when Bruce does the back heel, there's no way he can recover in step. I think what could have happened is I can't remember who exactly was trailing behind.
Yes.
But I think if they do a better job of
tracking of that.
Yeah.
They because here's my thing. Even if it doesn't look probable that the pass is going to be made to that player is still making a run into a dangerous area.
Yeah.
He needs to be shut down.
Needs, yeah.
And I think at that point, once that back heel hit and it was like, did that really happen? By then, ball's in the back of the net. There's no way Akira's saving that.
Yeah.
With him coming at pace in the middle of the field, not even at an angle, and he's got the whole goal to himself.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, you take that opportunity and chance, and you kind of, it felt like, again, like, all right, is this going to be another Rams 2 game? And you know how North Texas is. Once they're up two goals, like,
they start.
I will say it again, this is the commentator curse, because he kept saying it. He was like, oh, when North Texas scored two goals, they're virtually unbeatable. And I'm like, dude, stop saying that. Like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But going into the second half, and I mean, oh, Alex, he had a chance. It was a couple of chances in the first half as well. But oh, Alex, the one I remember is when he does, like, the double spin.
Yeah.
And shoots it. And I was just like, dude, you're not making that.
Yeah.
You're not making that. Yeah. Like, I don't want you to ever think you're going to do a double burly twirly whirl.
Yeah.
And then shoot.
Take a shot. That's like taking Dizzy PKs. It's not worth it.
Oh, that's not good, dude. But we get into the second half, and things for the kickers look a lot better. They look a lot better, but Section on Twitter kind of tweeted this as well about how Richmond kickers the last five or so games, goals have come from set-piece opportunities and PKs. It hasn't been an open goal. You know, which is kind of like, dang, it's been like that? Like, whew.
Come on.
Which, I mean, I don't know what it is. If we've had all these chances, we just can't finish an open play. But we do get a PK chance. This is off of Alex, and I can see why Coach Sawoski put all Alex in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And why he was like, you're playing the middle, and you're getting behind everyone. Because he literally creates his own PK by himself.
Yes.
It's kind of like revisionist of the Bolaños PK, where he just gets it behind the striker, and the striker just
has to pull him down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He pulled him down. He jumped over top of his head. But yeah, and Terzaghi, and you can see the difference of a confidence. This is not a slight at Stanley. I don't know if it's Stanley listens to this podcast or not. I hope he does. I hope all the Richmond Kickers listen to this podcast.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, but this is not, more of what happens when
you're in confidence.
When you're a striker on form.
Yeah.
And we've seen it throughout a lot of players' careers, a lot of notable players' careers. The one that comes to mind is Fernando Torres when he went through that, like, 2-year spell of not scoring goals. I don't know if it was 2 years, but it was a long time. And it was like, even sitters, he couldn't finish them. And your confidence just tanks. Your confidence tanks. But when you're scoring goals back to back to back, you end up in a situation like Riyad Mahrez where you're like, 20 yards? Nah, I'm going to go for it. And score it anyway because you just have that confidence. You have that I can do anything feeling. And that's where Terzaghi was.
Yeah. And he takes it smashing in the back of the net. But my biggest takeaway, and granted, the bigger picture is, yes, the kickers lost his game. And I think I want to put it in a little bit of positive sense because I don't think a lot of Richmond Kickers Nation was, like, devastated because we all expect, like, North Texas is that team that just – is there any team that has that number? It's North Texas.
Yeah.
But I think there is positive takeaway of this game. It's because of the fact of we didn't fold like how we did against Revs 2.
Yes, that's true.
We didn't fold. We created more chances. But it also felt like we controlled a little bit more of the game.
We did. We did. And
if that's the positive in this.
Yes. And it looked like there was a possibility we could have tied it up. We were looking like we were still in the game. Yeah. You know, all the way to the end. When you look at the Revs game, oh my goodness, it was one of those situations where it was just one of those games where you just get the wind knocked out of you and you're like, oh.
Yeah, the Revs game, it looked like nothing was going to go right.
Nothing was going to go right, exactly.
But the flip side of it, the North Texas game, you felt like we have a chance. And even like the Greg Boehm shot, like that's going to haunt me. Because the way how he shot that, you expect that shot to hit the back of the net.
Yes.
You expect it. I'm just like, that's our chance. That's our chance.
Yep.
And like Vintner. If Vintner's 2 inches closer, that's in the back of the net.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's not like we didn't have chances. And it's not like compared to last year where it was just like, once we go down a goal, we're not creating a chance. We create a chance, but we're just not finishing them. And you got to think, more 9 times out of 10, the more chances you create, you're going to finish more.
Yeah, you're gonna end up finishing something.
So, I think...
Alex would have finished, you know, if he wasn't dragged down. And it ended up being a goal anyway.
Yeah, so... I mean, Rich with kickers, like, the more... You think the more chances we get, we got to finish them. We got to end them off. Anything else on this game before we move on?
I mean... At this point right now, we do need to look at the season as a whole. And we do need to realize that this was a compacted, crunched season. So far, when you compare this season to last season, when you compare this team to last year's team and in terms of the way they were performing, this is a completely different team. And this is something that Richmond can be seriously proud of. At the end of the day, we're getting to the last, 3 games?
Yeah.
You're going to have tired legs. You're going to have tired minds. You're going to have moments, lapses of concentration. You're going to have things just not go your way, i.e. the New England game. You're going to have games where you're having chances, but you can't put them away. You're having situations of slight millisecond lapses of concentration that cost goals, just like in the North Texas game. But at the end of the day, this Kickers team has been awesome. I mean, so far
take what happened this past 2 weekends away. Mm-hmm. This season as a whole, if you pull back, mm-hmm. and take the emotion out of 2 losses in the span of 3 games, you look back at it. If you tell any Richmond Kickers fans at the start of the year, mm-hmm. with this whole pandemic thing started, and we know we got 16 games, mm-hmm. if I told you, you're going to be in second place with 3 games to go, you're going to have the provincial Golden Boot winner, mm-hmm. you're going to have the most improved player of the year, a potential coach of the year candidate, a top 3 leader in assists. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, you're only going to have... potentially only 1 home loss. Every Kickers fan would have laughed in your face and be like, ain't no way that's happening. Like, every Kickers fan, we all would have took that deal, but we were laughing on our way to the bank.
Yeah.
Like, in the fact, like, no matter how... Now, let me correct this. Can this season go awry? Yes.
Yeah.
But I think this is a great stepping stone of what is in terms of come. Has Darren built a great system here? Yes. Would I like to see us finish out strong?
Absolutely.
Hell yes.
Absolutely.
And I think the players want to finish out strong too. You know, it puts a sour note in the year if we truly back in.
Yeah.
But there are some positives to this. Kickers haven't lost back-to-back games so far this year.
Nope.
Hopefully we can keep that trend going. Beat South Georgia, beat Orlando. You pretty much control everything else.
Exactly.
If you look at the table right now, Union Omaha is on 23 points, but they only have 2 games left, and one of those against Greenville. North Texas is on, 13 games left, and they have 3. One of those is against Ford Madison. The only team that can probably really give you a chance is Ford Madison, and they have 4 games left against Fort Lauderdale, Chattanooga, North Texas, and Rev 2.
Yeah, but they're 7 points behind us.
Yeah. And then you have Chattanooga that's going to have an extra game on. They're on 13 with Ford Madison and us. So somewhere in between that, there's going to be a draw.
Yeah, there's
going to be a draw, and there's going to be someone just falling out. So, I mean, does Richmond really control it? Yes, because you have two games at home in between three games, and you play two teams at the bottom of the table. Yeah. You play a South Georgia team that, let's be real, they have nothing else to play for besides contracts.
Exactly. Yeah, but, I mean, that is a factor, you know, because players are trying to put themselves in the shop window.
Yeah.
But there's not really much to play for. There's not really much for them to play for. And not to mention the fact that they're probably still scarred from the Gallardo goal last year. That should have won goal of the year. USL League One, get your stuff together.
But yeah, and then we play OCB, who, you win that game, you win the South Georgia OCB game, the Chattanooga game pretty much comes irrelevant.
Exactly.
And that's what you want. I don't want it to come down to that final Chattanooga game where you got to hope and pray.
Yeah.
I don't want that at all. So, yeah. I forgot to ask you this. What letter grade do you give the team? For this past three games.
For these past three games, I think I would give them a C.
C?
I think I would give them a C.
I'm going to C minus. The only reason I'm going to C minus is because you gave away a potential clean sheet and the blunders.
Yeah.
Yeah, the inability to score a goal in open play.
Yeah.
I felt like...
We did get one goal in open play. I mean, with Bolanos, his first goal, that was open play.
Yeah, that's off a set piece.
It's off a set piece, but it's...
But I'm saying open play is like...
Oh,
build
up
in
out the back.
In the
play,
run of play.
Run of play, okay.
Oh, that came up... Like, if that set piece doesn't happen, Bolanos' goal doesn't happen. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly, yeah.
So that's why I'm like... I can't really give it out of you.
But I think at the end of the day, I'm sorry to say, but that Bolanos strike.
You still got on by that?
It just...
Oh, yeah. Bolanos 100% with goal.
It bumps the score up a little bit because, I mean, that was a screamer.
You were being way too generous. Way too generous.
It bumps it up, but I'd say a C is
I'm going to C minus. I think with three games left, I'm expecting no more than 7 points.
Yeah. I would want 7.
Yeah.
7. Of course I would want 9, obviously.
Oh, yeah, 100% want 9.
If you gave me 9 right
100%
now.
100% want 9. But my thing is, you got to be South Georgia. You got to be OCB. That's 6 points right there. That's 29 points. Going into Saturday, you should have it locked up. We should really just be resting players at that point.
Yeah.
And I mean, next weekend is going to be, if for anyone out there that is just listening to River City 93, if you don't know, we talk a lot about, you know, USL League One because we're a USL League podcast. And I probably only missed one game in USL League One this year. I think between us, we've only missed one. I think we've watched every game.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I would say, honestly, the games to watch out for that I'm going to keep an eye out for is Fort Lauderdale versus Fort Madison. Because if Fort gets a draw there, they're out.
Yeah.
Revs 2, North Texas, those are two teams in form, and I'm rooting for Revs 2.
Yeah, because they have a less of a chance of...
Revs 2 is officially eliminated, more or less.
I mean, not really. Well...
They're gone.
Pretty much.
Because if some teams win, like for instance, if we would have won last night, we would have knocked out Tucson before they even had a chance to play.
Yeah.
So, in that scenario, it can happen. But... I think that's an important game to watch. Definitely Chattanooga versus Florida Madison, us versus South Georgia, and then to close out the week, Greenville versus Union Omaha. The only game you don't have to watch is Tucson versus OCB. That's it. That's the only game you don't have to watch.
There's
nothing to watch in that game. And maybe if we want to scout OCB to see how they play, but outside of that, ain't nothing else to watch.
Not really. Yeah. Yeah, because at the end of the day, Tucson, their cards are dealt. I mean...
Yeah, so really,
highest they can get is fourth, and that's not happening.
Like, for real, I'm rooting for draws in every game except ours, where I need us to win. I don't want to wish for anyone to win or lose. Just give me a draw. It could be 4-4.
I do want Greenville to beat Union like they stole something, because...
Yeah, I think Greenville will probably go... Well, Greenville will probably go for a win. A draw helps them, honestly. Like, a draw helps them. They just need 1 point to clinch the final.
I know, but they just need 1 point to clinch. Yeah, they do just need one point to clinch the finals. But
so
I just hope they go in.
It doesn't matter either
way. Be Union Omaha like they stole something and just be, then just, that's it. That's it. Let's get Union Omaha off our tail.
Right. So, we end out this week before we head into week 15 with still in second place with more staying there because of Gold Games 1, which is a great thing. But it kind of feels like...
With the potential Golden Boot winner, who also won Player of the Month this month.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Zach Golden Boot. My God. You know? But with that being said, guys, anything... Well, let me ask you. Anything else you for my man?
Nope. I'm all set. All
right. That's a first ever. But yeah, man. This is Elliot.
This is Shanir.
I was totally forgot to do the whole wrap up. This show is brought to you by Roughneck Cars, Icarus FC, and of course For the Culture. If you're interested in getting some dope swag, check out 2 Cents FC. Yes. Use discount code RC93 at their website. Link will be down in the description down below. As always, this is Elliot.
This is Shanir.
We will holler at you guys later. Keep us on the good side.